Well, good morning. Taking the big step. My name's Chris. Some people call me Chris the intern, which is what I announced myself as the first time I was up here, and it kind of stuck. Mom calls me Christopher George Whitney. And if you're a mom, you understand that one. So happy Mother's Day. Thank you for coming. If you're new here, I just want to let you know in a couple moments, we're going to be receiving the offering. And during that time, this is a time for you to only fill out just some information, okay? Real easy, name, prayer request, address. If you need anything from the church, we'd be more than happy to get with you and help you in any way we can. Every week we're very intentional on a couple things we do here. And one of those things is how many churches are there? One church. We're all God's children. We're all together. It's all His from every part and every dimension. And so because of that, there's not a competition. It's just us living in the purpose that He preempted us, even in our mother's womb, to be. So this week, we try every week to pray for another ministry or church. We're going to pray for Fleming Island Presbyterian Church. It's on our side of the bridge. We live over in that area. And they got some new staff coming in. With some new people. They're very active in our community and do a lot of, I don't know if you're an old car person, they have kind of the old car shows and the Easter egg hunts, and they help the high school out. So they very much so try to help people to the best of their ability, much like we do. So I'd like to pray for them when we pray over the offering. And if the ushers would come forward for me. This morning, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to be coming out of Psalm 139:13, very popular verse. And it says this: "Certainly you made my mind in my heart. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And so a really cool picture or analogy I've heard was kind of God in His white robe, you know, on His throne, kind of sitting in this big rocking chair. And as He's knitting together your individual, personal, perfect DNA, there's pieces of Him kind of being shed into that and then placed in your mother's womb. And what's so cool is when I think about giving is, and not only from a financial standpoint, but just from a time or as a mom, as a dad, as a friend, I know that these pieces of light that are in my DNA shine. And it happens when you meet someone or when you do something selfishly, and you just, like, you can feel it. Have you ever met someone and you just, like, felt like that was something? Something happened. It was special. And that was knit in that DNA from the beginning in your mother's womb. So let's pray. Jesus, we come here because of You, because You were God's Son. You were His only Son, and You were the only way to the Father. And so when we come on this day, we celebrate Your birth, we celebrate Your ways, we celebrate Your life, and we thank You specifically for the purpose and the place You put that in and the mothers that You've put in all of our lives. I thank You for Fleming Island Presbyterian Church and their staff and their help with the community. I pray that every church in the city would just do their purpose in Your plan. And that's to bring God's people to Jesus. I pray for just for Vic as he comes and he gives us a word that's from You. I pray that You would just bless these people just to listen and just to hear Your voice. Because it's all about You and it's all from You. And so we put our lives in Your hands and we love You and we thank You. In Your name, amen. Amen. A couple quick announcements. Guatemala trip. We still have a Guatemala trip that's coming up August 3rd through the 8th, going to the Buena Vista Boys Academy. There's more information on that outside in the lobby if you'd like to sign up for that. There was another trip for young people that was going to be in June, and that got pushed back a little bit to July 24th-ish. So if you're still interested, there's a little bit more time to sign up for that. And again, the sign-up will be in the lobby also. Wednesday Night Life is... Again, we have a new group of classes coming up the fourth Wednesday of this month. It's going to be the second and the fourth Wednesday. So a couple of those in here. Money Life, Personal Finance, that's a Crown Ministries study that'll be put on by my wife and myself, and that'll be Wednesday nights. Vic is actually going to be doing Equipped for the Journey. That'll be Wednesday night too. And then for the sowers in the congregation, and I was laughing because I was like, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I was like, this is for all the sowers out there. But Donna Courier is going to be putting together a group for that too on Wednesday nights. And there's a purpose behind that for a nonprofit behind that ministry too. So if you're interested in any of those, that'll be starting in a couple weeks. Or if you have an idea that you think you'd love to get part of, please talk to either myself or to Vic, and we'd be more than happy to talk with you and see what you'd like to do. Other than that, there's other various groups we have during the week. And again, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to contact us.
All right, good morning. How's everybody doing? You awake? I almost feel like getting everyone to get up and do some jumping jacks or something, like get us moving. It's a little different when we only do like two songs on the front end. Is that a little different for some of you? Some of you, you know, you typically come in fashionably late, you know, like at 9:45, and you're used to hitting like the third song, and now you come in and it's announcements or mission moment. Well, maybe they'll teach you to be on time, huh? No. We're just switching things up a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of a response time at the end and have some more worship through music. But if you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you. My name's Vic, and I just want to say to all of the ladies in the room, happy Mother's Day. And we want to acknowledge, at Emmaus, we acknowledge all of the women on this day because, you know, there's many moms in this room right now. There are other ladies who are waiting to be moms. There are women in this room who've never had children but are spiritual mothers to many. There are some moms who are struggling who maybe have lost a child. And then there are some of us children who have lost mothers. And so just a wide mix of people in the room, but we want to honor all of the ladies on this day. And as we do here at Emmaus, if you've been here for any amount of time, rather than give you a flower or a bookmark, a flower that'll die or a bookmark that you'll lose, you know, on days like this, we make a contribution in honor of all of the ladies to a ministry. And so we are making a contribution out of all of the ladies on Mother's Day to Daniel House, which is a group here in town that really helps at-risk children, a lot of them that are separated from their mothers. And so they take care of them, provide food, provide housing, a lot of different things. So in honor of all the ladies, we want to be a blessing because you have been such a blessing to us. So happy Mother's Day. God bless you. We love you. Now, because we're not a Hallmark type of church, and I'm not a Hallmark type of pastor, the rest of the day will have nothing to do with you. So, no, I'm sorry. The rest of the day will have a lot to do with you, just these next few moments, might not as much, but I'm trusting that all the men in this room will bless all the ladies tremendously, and they'll get me off the hook. So we are in a study going through the book of James, and we're going to continue on in there, and we are in James chapter 1. And in order to give you a little context for what we're going to be talking about today, I just want to give you a little bit of review. So James is writing to believers in Jesus who have been persecuted and scattered all around the area. Okay, James is the half-brother of Jesus. He's a leader in the church, and he's writing to Jewish Christians. And so they've gone through persecution and trials. And he says, you know, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your struggles, you can actually experience joy. Okay, we talked about that the first week, how there's the ability to have a sense of peace and joy, even in the most difficult times for those of us who know Jesus. He says, when temptation comes, understand, God will give you a way out. He's not the one who is tempting you. We get tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires and we give in to sin. And he says, sin gives birth to death. We talked about that last week, and we talked about how to resist temptation. I gave a real simple acrostic, the word halt, We kind of talked about that, and how when we're susceptible to temptation, when we're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And so it's important that we recognize this. It's important that we be full of God, full of His grace, full of His Spirit. And if you want to make sure that you're not in a position where you're vulnerable, stay close to Him. How many of you guys, I used this illustration before, you probably heard. How many of you guys like to go to Costco? Anybody go to Costco in here? I love Costco. I didn't love it last night because I tried to go there at 6. I got there at 6:05 and the big garage door was closed. They wouldn't let me in. So I didn't love it then. But usually, I love Costco. You got everything you need. And then they have those wonderful older women who are always giving away the free samples, right? If you go there around lunchtime or close to dinner time, I mean, the free samples, you could eat a full meal there. You know, you got to get that word out to the homeless in Jacksonville, because you can go through Costco and get a, you know, and if you, you know, for me, if I get one of those samples that I like, I'll usually double back, you know, and, you know, kind of do one like this and they won't notice you. But if you go into Costco and you're a little bit hungry, like me, I'll hit every one of those tables, right? But now if I go to Costco after I've been at the sushi buffet and I'm full and I see that, no matter how good that looks, usually I just walk right on by. Why? Because I'm full. And so when it comes to temptation, it's so important that we are full, full of God, full of His Spirit, that we take time to spend with Him and His Word and just with Him personally and to be strengthened. And so now James, as he's talked about facing trials and temptations, now he goes on, and we're going to pick up in verse 19 of James chapter 1. Let me read 19 through 21. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. All right? So let's kind of walk through this. This is what we've been doing, kind of verse by verse. He starts off and he goes, understand this. So he's like, hey, this is important. Listen up. My dear brothers and sisters, and catch this. Here's James. He's a leader in the church. He's a half-brother of Jesus, and yet he addresses all the believers, my dear brothers and sisters. There's a sense of humility there. But he goes, listen, you got to understand that there's a important message that I want to get to you. And he says, you must all understand this. So it's a universal command that applies to all of us. All right, listen up. You need to hear it. Now, if you know anything about the book of James, you know, he has a lot to say about the power of the tongue, right? When we think of James, a lot of times that's what we think of in some of those later chapters. He has a lot to say about the power of the tongue. Well, this is the first command he gives regarding the use of the tongue. And he begins by telling us this, all right? Be slow to speak, all right? So he talks about, this whole book is going to talk a lot about the power of your tongue. And he goes, be slow to speak and quick to listen. In other words, think and listen before you speak, all right? Now, very good, simple, practical advice we could all learn from, right? Especially some of those who struggle with that dreaded, you know, foot and mouth disease. Like my friend who recently was at the bank and asked the teller, oh, when's your baby due? I mean, can we all agree that that's one of those questions you just never ask someone, right? But he did, you know, think, listen, before you speak. So he goes, listen, be slow to speak, quick to listen. James has just gotten done talking about trials and struggles. And he says, every good and perfect gift comes from God, all right? So everything good in this life comes from God. I understand there's going to be difficult times. Some of you may be experiencing them even this week. In the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your difficulty, be careful on how much you grumble and complain to Him as well as to your neighbor. right? Every good and perfect gift, if there's anything good in your life, it comes from him. Have any of you ever had one of those moments with God? I know you don't want to raise your hand, but have you ever had one of those moments with God where you've just kind of let God have it? I know that's kind of, you know, like, I don't know about that, like a lightning bolt might hit me if I do that, right? I had one of those moments with God. Actually, I've had a number of those moments with God, but I had one of those moments with God, and I'm going to share this with you. So it's actually not in my notes, but I'm going to share it, and these are usually dangerous times. So so I was a pastor for about 7 years at a church in South Carolina. As I was getting ready to move to Jacksonville, I resigned from that church. It was a struggling church financially. There was 3 pastors on staff. One of the pastors needed to leave, and so the church had to decide that. So they were actually going to take a vote on which pastor would have to leave. And I love these other 2 guys. We're really good friends. And it was just the most awkward, crazy thing. And me and Roxanne were praying, and we just felt like, you know what, it's time for us to go. My time here is done. So I resigned and just said, you know, we're going to save the church from having to do this vote. So I resigned. And after I resigned, unbeknownst to me, I had a guy who came up, a very wealthy man who actually wasn't in the church, was a believer, knew me, had been in the church previously. He said, listen, I know you guys are going through a tough time having to leave. He said, I want to be a blessing to you and your family, and I want to pay your salary for the next year so that you don't have to, you know, figure out what you're going to do. You can just kind of trust God and take some time. And I was like, wow, what an incredible blessing, right? I mean, just a miracle. And so so he did that, and so we were going through. We thought God had put some things on our hearts. I thought that I might be involved in something other than pastoring. And so I had this, it wasn't really an idea, it was something that just kind of happened. It was right around 1999. It was right around the time when the internet was getting pretty big and investments online had just started kind of happening. There was this thing that the term hadn't even started coming out yet called day trading. So I was kind of in the forefront of that unknowingly. And so I started investing a little bit online. I had this chunk of money and started investing it. And all of a sudden made some money really fast, like a lot of money real quick. And so I thought, this is awesome because I'll just invest, I'll make money, and then I'll just give my time to the church. The church won't have to pay me. I'll just be a blessing and volunteer and like most of you do, right? And so so it'll be great for everyone. So I would invest for a real short term and get a little return. And so I had been watching a stock for quite some time, and I was like, I knew that this stock was going to make some money. And so the following Monday, I decided I was going to invest everything in this one stock. And for some reason that day, I decided to make a different investment. So instead of investing in this one stock, I invested in another stock called buy.com. And within like a day, it all of a sudden dropped by about 20%. I was like, wow, that's not good, right? And if you know anything about trading, it was also, I did some on margin. And so next thing you know, it dropped a little bit more. Next thing you know, I get a margin call. Next thing you know, a stock that was a couple dollars is now 50 cents. And then, long story short, it was worth pennies on the dollar. Now, the flip side of that is the stock that I was going to invest in. Had I invested in that stock, I mean, it just started to skyrocket. Within 30 days, my whatever it was, $20,000, $30,000 investment would have been worth $300,000 on this side. And at the end, over here, it was worth basically nothing. So I had a little moment with God. So before I actually told my wife about it, you know, I had this little moment with God. So I had gotten to this moment because I held out hope till finally it was just all gone. And so I kind of just went off like, God, you know, what are you doing? You know my heart. I mean, it, you know, I just want to serve you. I just, you know, all these things, you know, just I'm just like, I'm shouting at God. I'm going through this, you know, just something that none of you ever do, you know, right? You never do this in your home, with your family, with your kids, with your husband, with your wife, okay? You never do that, but I did it with God. And so at the end, when I let it all out, and I'm just like, this quiet moment, you know, emotional, and I don't hear an audible voice, but it was just like, it was finally when I took time to listen, and I just hear kind of in my spirit, you're running from your call, you become greedy, and you've lost your way. And I was like, ooh, that hurts. You know, I was like, oh, that hurts. Like, God, why wasn't I listening before? I mean, he provided me this incredible blessing, right? This guy gives me this incredible blessing. And then, you know, I start thinking my ways are better than God's ways. And I was tired of dealing with some of the things within the church. And I started going my own way. And God brought a course correction. And here's James, and he says, listen, be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. Listen to God. Listen to people around you. We are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. When you read the scriptures and when you read the gospels, Jesus was a very good listener, right? You ever notice how many times Jesus asks questions in the scriptures? You notice how he listened to the disciples and all their foolishness and nonsense, and then he would talk to them? Or he listened to the religious people who thought they knew what they were doing, and then he would talk to them. It was like the right word at the right time. Don't you wish you had that sometimes, like the right word at the right time? Men, would you like to have the right word at the right time? Women, wouldn't you like the men in your life to listen to you, right? I mean, James is helping us out here, all right? Be quick to listen, be slow to speak. Now, what about when it comes to the world, the people who are far from God, the people who are hostile toward God and toward Christians? How do we do it listening to those people? Remember, James is writing to people who've been persecuted by others. So he's telling them, be quick to listen, slow to speak. How do we do? If you were to survey people on the outside of church, what they think about Christians, what are some of the things that we often hear? They're judgmental. They have an agenda. Does that represent someone who's a good listener? Okay? He goes, listen up. Everyone, understand this. This is important. We need to learn to be good listeners. Because if we're not listening to people, we really don't know what's going on in their life, what's going on in their heart, what they need, and how to bring that word that they need to hear in that moment. But instead, we're quick to speak, slow to listen. You have those people who finish your sentences? You ever have those conversations and you're talking to someone and they finish your sentence? And you just want to stop and go, well, I guess you understand it all, right? You got it. And some of you are shaking your heads in here. I learned early on in marriage, okay? I've been married, it'll be 26 years this month, all right? Still got a lot to learn, but I did learn something. My wife doesn't want me to fix everything, right? She doesn't want me to give her an answer necessarily. Sometimes she just wants me to listen. Right? Just listen. Just sit there and listen. And it's kind of like, you know, and if I want you to, you know, if I really want you to talk, then I'll tell you, right? I mean, it's kind of the way it is. And it's funny because we all have these experiences. We've been talking about the fact that God has left us here on this earth as believers in Jesus and followers of Jesus to share his love with the world. Well, there's a world out there that needs to know him, and we need to listen, and we need to understand what's going on in their hearts. We don't need to argue people into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot do that. So I want to ask you, do you find yourself hostile at times toward people who are hostile toward the faith? How do you react? How do you respond when people oppose God and the truth found in his word? How do you handle that? So usually it's one of two ways. You either act like a doormat, don't do anything, or you fight. And I think neither one of those are very effective. We should stand up for truth. Then you got to let truth stand. Because it's truth, right? God doesn't need people to prove that he's true. He is. He is. Period. What he needs is for his people to exemplify the kind of faith and the kind of love that Jesus did and that we say that we have, right? We say we're people of faith, but we don't trust God enough. We feel like we have to take matters into our own hands. He doesn't need people to fight for him. He needs people to represent him well. And then when we represent him well, you know what he does? He fights for us. Right? If God is for us, who can be against us? I have anything to fear. Sit down with the person who's most opposed to God, atheist, whatever. Donald Miller says this in one of his books. He goes, in war, you don't attack the hostage, you attack the enemy. And scripture tells us that the people who don't know God, they're blind by this world. Okay? The enemy, Satan, has them blind and bound. Unbelievers are going to receive God's love through our mercy, not our anger. And sometimes we just got to listen long enough to find out what's going on in their heart. The guy who invented the stethoscope, I might have said this last week, he said when he gave it to doctors, you know, just listen to your patient. They'll tell you what's going on in them. You know, just listen to people. But many of us struggle. We struggle to listen, and we struggle with our anger. And James here is like, be slow to be angry, okay? Be slow to anger. Have you ever just lost it? You know, like I said, I lost it with God. Anyone in here who has kids, have you ever kind of been like, would you go clean your room? And then, you know, it's like 20 minutes later, they're still playing the video game, and you're like going, I thought I told you to clean your room. Would you clean your room? And then like the third time when you walk by the room and it's like 3 hours later and it's still not clean, and then you just lose your ever-loving mind. Anybody been there? Not me. I mean, I don't do that kind of thing. But anybody been there where you just, you know, or you ever experience that? See, anger in itself isn't a sin, but it's easy to sin when you're angry, right? Ephesians 4:26-27 says this. Paul writes, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Anger gives a foothold. That word foothold in the Greek is tapos. It's where we get the word topography. It's where we land or area or mass. So when you allow anger to well up inside of you to the point where it moves you to sin, you give the enemy room or land, you know, space to work in your life. Be careful. Don't allow anger to control you. Do people see you as an angry person? Do you struggle to try to forgive people? Do you even realize that you have a problem in this area? And if so, what are you doing about it? Because it gives the enemy a foothold. It gives him room to work in your life. And so he goes, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and accept the word God planted in your heart. It has the power to save you and to set you free. But look at verse 22. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Okay? So be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Listen to others, listen to God's word. But when you listen to it, don't just listen, act upon it, right? Do it. Talk is cheap. I mean, really, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80% of the people in the United States would say they're Christians. Okay? But also somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 70% of the people in the United States would say that sexual immorality is fine. You can sleep with whoever you want. Okay, now we got a little problem there, right? Because God's word's pretty clear on that one. Like, that's not okay. And James is going, don't just listen to the word, do what it says. And doing what it says is not what saves you, but if you have a relationship with him and you know him and you have true saving faith, then it's going to move you to do what it says. So if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like looking at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Now, when I first read that, I didn't get that because that's like what I do every day, right? I mean, I don't know if it's just me or if that's most guys, but like I look in the mirror, make sure nothing's hanging out of my nose or anywhere else, and then I'm off. I haven't combed or brushed my hair in 7 years. Praise the Lord. I mean, you just cut it short and do this, and man, just go on with life. So I'm like, what is he saying? I mean, because no, it's like you look at yourself in the mirror, you kind of know who you are, and then you walk away and you forget who you are. You forget who you are in Christ. You forget whose you are. You forget what a person who's a follower of Jesus looks like and acts like. And it's more than just words. It's life, right? If I'm his, that means, you know, if I say I'm a Christian, the word literally means in Christ. I'm in Christ. He's in me. It's not just I follow this set of rules and some dead religion. No, the Spirit of God lives inside of me, changes me. Have you forgotten who you are? Do you know who you are? I mean, James is just like, this is so important. Remember how he started this off? Understand this. Everybody listen. This is important. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Hear that. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So he saves us by his grace. It's not a reward for something we've done. It's by his grace, by his goodness. Nothing for any one of us to boast about. And he goes, listen, you're God's masterpiece. He created you anew in Christ. He's given you new life. And there's things that he prepared in advance for you to do. There's good works that he prepared for you to walk in. It's like Chris was saying, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He created you for a purpose. There are things you were created for. And if you just listen to the word and you don't do it, you can easily miss those things. There are people that he wants you to reach and share his love with. But if you don't listen to them, you can dismiss them as, oh man, they're so far away from God. No one's too far from God. Do you believe that he is ever present? He's already at work before we even get there. He's working in the hearts of people. He's working all around us. We got to open our eyes. We got to open our ears. We have to see that. There's things he prepared for us to do, and he wants us to join him, bringing his love and grace to a world that desperately needs it. Don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. It's God's perfect law, and it sets you free. He didn't give this to us to hinder our lives. He didn't give us the truth found in the word to keep us from things that are fun and good for us. He gives this to us because he tells us it's the best possible way for you to live. Follow me. It'll set you free. See, the person who understands that and the person who obeys it, they know who they are. They know who he is. They understand, man, he loves me. I might not be perfect. I struggle in many ways, but he loves me. And that scripture says, you're his masterpiece. He created you lovingly, knit you together. There's things in this earth he wants you to do. There's people he wants you to share his love with. And then he goes on, look at verse 26. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, listen, verse 27, a lot of us have heard this. What is true religion? Caring for orphans and widows in their distress. So verse 27 has got a lot of the pub here. We forget verse 26. Let me remind you of verse 26, because this is very important. If you claim to be religious, you claim to be a follower of God, you claim to, the word religious there, it's not like some dead religion. He's talking about pure, true religion. If you claim to be his, right? But you don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Dang, that's a tough message. I mean, that is really, listen to what he said. Like, listen, if you say you know him, but you can't control this. You're gossiping. You're tearing people down instead of building them up. You know, if you can't control this, your religion's worthless. Now, that's a tough word. How can that be? The fruit of the Spirit, which means if the Spirit lives inside of you, the fruit that will be produced is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, right? If you can't control this, it's not like, oh, because you said that bad word or because you gossiped about this person, then God's going to separate himself from you. What he's saying is, if you can't control this, you got to question what's going on in here. Because there's a good chance you might not even know him. You might come into a room with a steeple on the top of the building and four walls where they sing songs and a guy like me talks about God. But do you really know God yourself personally? Have you responded? Have you surrendered? Does he live inside of you? Have you experienced that? Because if you have, it will change you. Something inside changes. It's a very real thing. And if not, then you got a question. Paul says, examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Do you know him? It's by grace you're saved through faith. It's not because of your works. But man, if you just look like everyone else around you and there's no difference, then you got to go, God, help me. I need you. And maybe you need to surrender to him. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion, your kind of religious acts are worthless. Look at verse 27. I'm going to kind of wrap up here in just a minute. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. For his, we won't just listen to the word, we'll obey it. It'll be second nature to us. Jesus, when he came, he showed love to the people who were unloved. The lepers, the people who had leprosy, who the religious people wouldn't even touch. They'd walk on the other side of the road to get away from them because they were just diseased and unclean. Jesus, when he goes and talks to one person struggling with leprosy and heals them, he doesn't just say, be healed. He touches them. I mean, he loved the outcast, the marginalized. And that's what we're called to do as his followers. There's things that God wants to do in this world, in and through you and through me. And so he creates us lovingly with these things in our heart. And I want to just encourage you and I want to challenge you. Are you acting on any of that? See, here at Emmaus, one of our core values is to make sure that we always remember the poor. Not like remember the poor like they're there. Like, yeah, there's poor people. No, do something about it. We love those people. God loves those people. And not just here in our city, but that's why we feed children in Tevita, Africa. That's why we feed these boys in Guatemala. It's why we provide housing for families in need. It's God's heart. And I just got to ask the question, is that our heart to help? What about us as individuals? Because it's great that we do that as a congregation, but what are we doing as individuals? Do we do what we say? Or have we forgotten who we are? Created by God, lovingly, with purpose. I want to ask the band to come up. I'm going to wrap up in just a minute. We talked last week about the fact that we're rich. We're rich in Him because He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, but we're rich. Just as people in general, living in this country, we're rich. And we have the opportunity to be a blessing to so many. And I want to take a moment. We're gonna take some time to just worship and through song. And there's communion that's always out on either side. If you want to take a moment and just spend a moment with the Lord, maybe with your family. And but I want us to think about the love that He has shown us, right? I mean, it's Mother's Day. And a lot of us are surrounded by family and people we love. And we're going to leave this place. And we're going to go have a meal together. We're going to spend the day. A blessing to those ladies in our lives. And God has just shown us love in so many ways. So many ways. And so I want us to take a moment and thank Him for that, right? Because there's a lot of people who don't get to experience that love that we have. We give this gift to Daniel House. A lot of these kids, they're separated from their family. I mean, think about the struggles. So no matter where you're at today, whatever's going on in your life, we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? We have a lot to be thankful for. What are we doing with what God has given to us? And a lot of times, as soon as I say that, you're thinking, all right, finances, things like that. Listen, you got a healthy family? I mean, you're if you're in here and there's just love of people around you, man, there's people in your sphere of influence who need to know that love. There's people who you know who don't have, there's people in this room who don't have a mother and father who live in the same house. I mean, some of us have experienced the pain of that. Some of us experienced healing from that. And you still have something to offer this world. So I want to ask you to stand and I want to pray for us. And I want us to hear this word. And I don't know exactly what God is saying to you about how this applies, but there's truth here that we just can't let go of, okay? And so I want to pray for us in this, and then we're going to sing for a little bit. And ask God to speak to you in these moments. God, You've blessed us in so many ways. God, we all have more than we need, and yet we feel like we often need more. God, we confess there's times we don't take time to listen to You. We don't take time to listen to others. We speak before we think. God, would You fill us with Your Spirit that we might hear Your voice? God, the love that's been expressed to us in Christ, that it might fill us and overflow to the people right around us, the people in our families, the people in our sphere of influence. God, the people who look at Your church and look at other Christians and think they're judgmental or think they're condemning, God, may we listen well enough, may we love well enough to break down those barriers and share the love of Jesus, the true love of Jesus with those people. God, show us what we have to give. Help us to give that. Remind us of all we have in You. And as we sing and as we worship through song, God, I pray that these wouldn't be words. This would be from our heart. God, maybe we'd just sit and listen. Maybe we'd just engage in singing. Maybe we'd take time to pray and confess. I pray You get the glory. Stir our hearts, God, by Your Spirit, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name.